Good morning, everyone. The topic of my presentation today is exploiting heat-accelerated flash memory wear-out recovery to enable self-healing solid-state drive. This work is done by LabMate, Gui Qiangdong, my advisor, Professor Tong Zhang, and myself. Here is the outline of my presentation today. First, I will briefly introduce the background and the motivation of our work. Next, I will discuss our proposed self-healing solid-state drive architecture, which includes the system architecture and the data backup strategy. I will also discuss the simulation environment of our work, which includes the thermal modeling, non-flash memory cell modeling, and solid-state drive system performance modeling. Finally, I will show some simulation results and summarize our work. Currently, the non-flash memory is being expected to be used in it to be, replace the hard disk drive in some high-performance applications like mail server, application server, and data servers. As the continuous bit cost reduction, the non-flash memory is also expected to be used in more applications. Although compared to the hard disk drive, non-flash memory has higher performance and lower power consumption, it still has its own problems, like the higher error rate, limited endurance, and retention time. And those problems will even get worse as the fabrication technology scales down. The continuous program and erase operation will generate the interface and the bug trap in the non-flash cell. Those traps will bring noise, which eventually will cause the endurance and the retention problems. However, those damage can be recovered a long time, and this recovery process can be accelerated under higher temperature. Let's assume this figure shows the flash cell threshold voltage distribution after 3,000 program erase cycles, which is near to its lifetime for multiple level per cell flash memory. So after heat-assisted self-healing, the threshold voltage distribution will get much better and is ready for another 2,700 program erase cycles. So based on this observation, we proposed a self-healing solid-state drive. In the following several slides, I will discuss it in detail. So our proposed self-healing solid-state drive architecture is enabled by 3D integration, which means we integrated another heater die and flash dies. So initially, the self-healing solid-state drive is composed of healthy chips and a backup chip. So after a certain amount of program and erase cycles, the healthy chip will become sick, which means the bit error rate of the flash cell in those chips is too high to be read correctly. So at this point, we choose one sick chip, copy its data to the backup chip, and heat it up to a certain high temperature for a certain amount of time. So after self-heating, the sick chip become healthy and is ready to be used again. So this process keeps continue until all the sick chip become healthy and ready to be used again. So here is the basic concept of our proposed self-healing solid-state drive. This figure shows the detailed architecture of our proposed self-healing solid-state drive. So as we can see from this figure, every channel has its own data backup chip, which means, for example, the backup chip in this channel only backups data from this channel. And the backup chip doesn't occupy any address, which means the page translate table doesn't need to be changed, but the chip select signal needs to be changed since after self-heating, the sick chip become to backup chip, and the backup chip becomes to healthy chip. For data backup operation, it can be divided into four steps. The first step is to copy the data from the flash data array of sick chip to the page register. The second step is to transfer the data from page register of the sick chip to the flash controller for ECC decoding and encoding again. The third step is to transfer the data from flash controller to the backup chip, to the page register of the backup chip. And the last step is to transfer the data from the page register of backup chip to the flash data array of the backup chip. So those four steps can be pipelined to reduce the data backup time. Unavoidably, the data backup operation will have negative impacts on the normal I/O request performance. So in order to minimize the impacts of data backup operation on I/O request performance. We only issue the data backup operation when the corresponding solid-state drive channel is idle. So when the corresponding solid-state channel is performing the data backup operation, if an I/O request is accessing this channel, then this request will interrupt the data backup operation. And after the this I/O request, the data backup operation can be continued. So this example shows the data backup operation interrupt granularity is 1 byte. Actually, you can change the granularity, but there is trade-off between data backup time and average response time when you change the backup granularity. For example, if you increase the backup interrupt granularity, then the data backup time will decrease. However, the average I/O request response time will increase. We also need to handle the read and write conflict during data backup operation. Assuming this represents the sick trip, this represents the backup trip. And those page has been backuped already. And the data in this page has been copied to the page register. And some of them maybe has been transferred to the flash controller. So at this point, if an I/O request is targeting this sick trip, then it will percentually generate a read conflict. For example, if the I/O read request is targeting those pages whose data has been backup already, then we can reroute the I/O request to the backup trip directly, then there is no read conflict. If the read I/O request is accessing those pages whose data hasn't been backup yet, then we need to, then there is a read conflict. We need to remove the data in the page register to respond this I/O request. After the I/O request, we need to reload the data of this page to the page register again and renew the data backup operation. The write conflict is similar with the read conflict. So in summary, we only initial the data backup operation when the corresponding solid-state drive channel is idle. And the I/O request can interrupt data backup operation at a certain granularity. Also, there is a trade-off between the data backup speed and the average response time. Also, we need to handle the read and the write conflict. In the next solving slide, I will introduce our simulation environment. The simulation environment of our proposed self-healing solid-state drive is based on three models. The first model is thermal model, which is used to evaluate the heating time and energy. The second model is the flash cell model, which is used to quantitatively evaluate the self-to-self interference, random telegraph noise, and the retention noise. The third model is the solid-state drive system model, which is used to evaluate the data backup performance impacts. Our thermal model is based on an open source tool, Hotspot, from the Virginia University. But we add two changes. The first, we remove the heat sink from the original hotspot, since we don't need heat sink in the flash chip. And the second, we add another secondary heat dissipation path for 3D chip configuration. This figure shows the 3D chip structure in our simulation. And this table shows the configuration for every layer in our 3D chip. For the non-flash cell model, we built a mathematical channel model for the non-flash memory cell, which considers the programming errors, cell-to-cell interference, random telegraph noise, and retention noise. So in the seven slides, I will introduce them one by one. So in our non-flash memory cell model, we assuming using the incremental step path programming. Actually, there is a trade-off between programming speed and raw storage reliability. For example, if you want to increase the programming speed, you need to increase the step voltage delta V. However, if you increase the step voltage, then it will decrease the raw storage reliability. Therefore, there is a trade-off between them. Besides the programming noise, we also consider another three major distortion and noise sources. They are cell-to-cell interference, random telegraph noise, and retention noise. Cell-to-cell interference refers to the threshold voltage shift due to capacitive voltage coupling between adjacent memory cells. For example, the programmed threshold voltage of this cell can be changed by the programming operation of those adjacent cells. This interference will even get worse as the fabrication technology scales down. The program, continuous program and erase cycle will accumulate the interface traps in the non-flash cell. So the random electron capture and emission events at interface trap will generate the random telegraph noise. So in our model, the random telegraph noise tends to add exponential tails on both sides of each level. As program erase cycle increase, the trap density tends to increase in a power law fashion in our model. Those the random telegraph noise will also get worse as the fabrication technology scales down. As the retention noise, there are three major causes. There are stress-induced leakage current, electron detrapping, and charge trap recovery. We model them as the Gaussian precise, and we set the mean value and the variance scale with program and erase cycle and the time in a power law fashion. So in summary, the non-flash memory model in our work considers the programming errors, random telegraph noise, and the cell-to-cell interference and the retention noise. As the solid state drive system model, our model is based on the disk SIM simulator with solid state drive model patch from Microsoft Research. Those items show the configuration of disk SIM in our simulation. In the next several slides, I will show some simulation results of our work. This figure shows the normalized interface trap density along the heating time and the different temperature. So choose 200 centigrade as the target heating temperature. It needs about 35 minutes to recover 80% of the interface traps. And this figure shows the power consumption and the energy consumption and the different heating temperature if we want to reduce, if we want to recover 80% of the interface trap. So the power goes from 1.5 watt to 5.1 watt when the temperature changes from 110 centigrade to 250 centigrade. And the red curve in this figure shows the total program and erase cycles after introducing the self-healing solid state drive architecture. As we can see, the total program erase cycles is increased from 3,000 to almost 18,000, which is almost a 6-time increment. This figure shows the average I/O response time increment after introducing the data backup operation. Actually, the impact of data backup operation is determined by the request size and overlap the request number in the trace file. As we can see, the average response time increment for those four traces, I/O traces, are quite high because the request size and request size in these four I/O traces is quite small, and the overlapped request number of these I/O traces is also small, since we only initial the data backup operation when the SIT channel is idle. So if there is full overlapped request, then the data backup operation will have a bigger impact on the I/O on the I/O request performance. In order to evaluate the trade-off between data backup time and I/O and average response time increment, we generate five synthetic I/O trace files. They are all composed of 5 million random and read and write I/O operations. We change the mean of inter-arrival time from 10 milliseconds to 0.35 milliseconds. So, as we can see in this figure, when the inter-arrival time is 10 milliseconds. The number of backup page doesn't change too much if we change the data backup granularity from 1 byte to 4K byte. However, the average response time increment increased dramatically as we change the data backup granularity from 1 byte to 4K byte. On the opposite, when the inter arrival time is 0.35, which means the IO request is more intensive, then the number of backup page increased dramatically when we change the data backup granularity from 1 byte to 4K byte. However, the average response time increment doesn't change too much. Therefore, we should dynamically change the data backup interruption granularity according to the characteristic of the IO trace file to control both average response time and backup speed. Next, I will summarize our work again. So in our work, we proposed a self-healing source drive design strategy based on interface trap recovery phenomenon. We discussed the self-healing source drive system architecture and SSD controller scheduling and data backup strategy. The simulation result based on detailed thermal model, flash shell model, and solid state drive system model suggests that the self-healing source drive can improve the SSD lifetime over 5 times. That's my presentation today. Thank you very much.
First to ask a question then.
Okay.
So basically from what you've said then, if you write to a flash until it starts giving you failures and large numbers of bit errors, and then you bake it at 250 for a little while, you'll be able to, it'll start working again perfectly. Have you, almost perfectly. Have you done this in the lab?
No, we didn't do this in the lab. We just referred to some open literature papers based on their experiment. Yeah, we got the formulas to
estimate
that.
It has been done physically, though, to actually verify.
Yes, that's right.
And what part of the SSD market would you see something like this fitting into?
Actually, it's the best application for this architecture is for the application or the transaction intensive application like the database servers. Since the non-flash memory will also be, will also recover under normal temperature. So our proposal is just accelerate this recovery process under higher temperature. So if the request is not so intensive, then they recovered under normal time or normal temperature already, then our proposed architecture is used under this case.
Okay, thanks.
So forgive me, so why not just try the experiment? Take a flash drive, put and suggested, put it in an oven at 200 degrees, and
actually,
then pull it out and see if it's
we are trying to build this hardware platform, but we cannot get the latest flash chip from the vendor now.
So. Oh, no, I'm not talking about building a new hardware platform. I'm talking about buying one at the store, using it, and then putting it in the oven in which you bake cookies at 200 degrees.
Can you repeat your question again?
I'm asking why not do a simple experiment that doesn't involve in building a new hardware platform by just buying a SSD at the store, using it, and then putting it in the oven at home.
Okay, I see that. Actually, this experiment has been done by other people already, so we saw the result already, but it's not done by ourselves.
I'll point out that they're not suggesting heating the flash that has the controller's program in it, just the blank data. Okay, I think we can thank the speaker, and I think